at democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, with Juan Gonzalez for another edition of Democracy Now!
Hey everyone, I'm Shay from Planned Parenthood. Here are some fast facts about abortion. Abortion is really common. Chances are you know someone who's had an abortion. In the United States, about 1 in 4 women will have one by the age of 45. Abortion is extremely safe. Abortion is safer than getting your tonsils out or your wisdom teeth pulled. And abortion doesn't increase your risk of cancer, infertility, mental health issues, or any other health problems. The majority of people who get abortions are already parents. 59% of people who have had abortions have had at least one childbirth experience. Most people in the U.S. think abortion should be legal by a wide margin. 80% of Americans want abortion to remain legal, even in states where politicians pass laws against abortion. For more information, visit PlannedParenthood.org.
And it's exactly 6 o'clock, and you are listening to radio station WUSB in Stony Brook, broadcasting at 90.1 FM and 107.3 FM, as well as over the internet at WUSB.FM. And it being 6 o'clock, it being Tuesday, means it's time once again for another exciting edition of Off the Wall. And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Wilson over here. Kyle is over there.
Yo. Hi.
And I got to say, that espresso you just made, that should have won an award. Unfortunately, I drank it. But yeah, it's not an espresso macchiato.
Yeah, that was the first one too. The second one's maybe a little better.
There's another one?
You gotta try. Do you need another one? I'll go make.
There's another one.
And I want to look up macchiato. I think I gotta like. I don't know exactly what the ratio, like the proportions and ratios of different things are.
For those who don't know, one of our favorite songs, Espresso Macchiato, with the Eurovision entry for Estonia, which offended some people in Italy, and I recognize that, cultural appropriation and all, but it was a fun song. I don't know why I liked that song so much, and I hated the Milkshake song from Australia. I don't know. I just didn't like that song.
Well, it elevated what is a worldwide status, like an acknowledged, not elevated, but the already elevated status of coffee in the world.
It was a celebration. Acknowledge
of men that everyone enjoys it. It's a global phenomenon, a lovely, lovely beverage.
It made me happy to see that song. And of course, the artist who sang it in the video, which you can see on YouTube, and we're not going to talk about Eurovision this week, we promise, but I just have to say this. The artist, first you think it's two people. Well, some of us might think it's two people because he has dark hair one side, light hair on the other, and you realize it's the same person and they merge together. It's kind of cool. But yeah, that didn't win. That didn't win. In fact, none of the songs that we liked won. But that's okay because the song that won was pretty good. We'll play that at the end. Eurovision is over. But what fun that was. I'm glad we got to experience that. a bit frustrating, though, having to deal with Google constantly trying to trap you and say, hey, wait, you're not in the country you say you're in. Prove that you're in this country. And then you have to answer all kinds of challenges sent to your phone, then sent to your email address. And by the time you satisfy it, 5 minutes have gone by. You're no longer watching it live. And you have to ask yourself, why do they care so much? Why are they turned into this big fascist police state? You're Google, for God's sake, just let me be. Everything's okay. Everything's fine. So, yeah, you're going to look up... you might be out the whole hour if you do that.
Macchiato? How do you spell that? You know
what?
Gosh, I'll find out. I have no idea. No, don't worry about it.
The kid from Karate Kid. Macchiato. That's his last name, I think, right? Ralph Macchiato?
I think you're right.
Yeah, so look that up. Just look up Karate Kid and then look up the last name and then you'll find
Wait a minute. Somehow... I don't think this is the right way.
But this is radio. It's got to be the right way.
All right. I know you have stuff to talk about.
I do. I have so much to talk about. So that's fine. You do the research. I'm going to read some mail. Let's see. Where should we start here? Okay. How about this? Here's some inspirational mail that we get occasionally here at the radio show. And you can write to us, otw@2600.com. Just basically let loose with your thoughts, with your feelings, and tell us what you're thinking at the moment. otw@2600.com. Greetings. As I play catch-up on the episodes of your radio show, which is perfectly okay because we have every single one of them online, 2600.com/off-the-wall, goes back to 2003. My God. Catching up on the episodes that I am behind on, I have found myself inspired by you two to finally do something regarding the current state of things. All right, then. That's good. That's a good thing to hear. For too long, I've only sat on the sidelines, giving OPSEC advice to friends who put themselves in harm's way during the George Floyd protest, advising them on how to keep themselves safe from a digital privacy standpoint, to avoid geofencing warrants, EMSI catchers, etc. That's cell phone identifiers. My friends told me that was enough, making sure people couldn't easily get caught from a digital standpoint. But seeing their injuries caused by local law, quote-unquote, enforcement, broke my heart. I felt like a coward, though everyone tried to reassure me that every hero needs the guy behind the computer to make sure everything goes smoothly. And for a time, that was enough. Now, if I could just inject myself into this letter for a moment... Don't call yourself a coward. Don't ever think of yourself that way because nobody's keeping score. And the people who are keeping score, they don't matter. All right. You do what you can at the moment that you find yourself in. And if that means giving people important technical advice, being at the other end of a phone call when somebody is in crisis, or just injecting your opinion where it might matter the most, that is valuable. That is invaluable. Yeah, that word somehow means the same thing. Look, don't put yourself down. If you want to do more, great. If you want to do something else, that's great too. The important thing is that we don't act against our own interests, that we don't don't know if you can hear the espresso machine. Kyle's really going at it. The important thing is that you're true to yourself and that you are able to say, I did something today. I didn't lie about what I believe in. I didn't hurt somebody or act against the interests of people I care about. If you can say all that, you're doing okay. Believe me, people on the other side, it's a lot harder for them to say things like that. Anyway, continuing with the letter. But now things have changed. Rights are being attacked and constitutional freedoms are under threat. Innocent people are being unlawfully deported for simply existing, wanting a better life for themselves, be it safety from gangs through asylum seeking or exploring higher education for a better life after graduation. I want that to sink in because that's exactly it. That's exactly it. People are being deported for existing. For coming to this country wanting a better life like our ancestors did, unless we're Native American. Almost every one of us has ancestors who came to this country and were not subjected to the trials and tribulations that we expect people wanting the same today to go through. Yeah, my relatives came here. They didn't have permission to come here, but they were welcomed. Well, not really welcomed, but, you know, they were let in. Then they had to deal with all kinds of racism and nationalism and the usual. But I think they knew that was coming. The important thing is there was no Fox News standing around saying, why are these people here? Let's deport them immediately. Innocent people being unlawfully deported for simply existing. That is, couldn't say it any better than that. People just coming to this country to get a better education and to work in this country, to help this country, to serve in the military. It's just unbelievable, the hatred that we see on a daily basis. And anyway, continuing. And this time, being the guy at the computer isn't an option. If protesters are brave enough to face imprisonment or worse for standing up for what is true and right, then I should be no different. Don't want to disagree. But we are all different. And not everybody can do the same thing. Not everybody can be the guy at the computer. Not everybody can be the guy on the front line or the woman on the front line or people fighting in the ways that they are best trained to fight. Everyone has a skill. The important thing is to unite, to work together, to not let ourselves be split apart. With your inspiration, I have taken to my streets and have started putting up anti-fascism posters where people can see them in cars while sitting at red lights or at crosswalk signals where they can read messages while waiting to cross the street. That's awesome. This isn't much compared to what my friends faced in so many years ago, but it's the best way I know how to protest, by spreading the truth about the lies that we are being force-fed. And that is a damn good way to get the message out. And you'd be amazed how few people do things like this. Yeah, there are a few psychos and lunatics who put up all kinds of conspiracy theory signs and stickers everywhere. You see that all the time. But rarely do you see something that just basically says, question what you see right now, fight back, stand up for your rights. Something basic like that, because today it's considered controversial. Nobody wants to get involved. Nobody wants to risk whatever the penalty is for using your freedom of speech. I am fully prepared to face jail time for putting up things that go against the current regime that are considered terrorism in this day and age. And that is true. We are faced with that, accusations of supporting terrorism, for standing up for basic human rights. We must never accept that. And yeah, you will be threatened. If somebody sees you, they'll say all kinds of things. And that's why it's important for all of us to stand up for each other. Because we can't be intimidated. Continuing here, I am also considering holding crypto parties to help spread the importance of encryption so people can speak freely and not have what is legal to talk about today be grandfathered into being illegal tomorrow. Thank you, Emmanuel and Kyle, for continuing to be an inspiration to hackers all over the world. Hack the Planet from Cypher Cryptic Reboot. Awesome name. So thank you, Cypher Cryptic. I have trouble saying it. Isn't that cool, Kyle?
That was a really, really lovely letter. Yeah. I appreciate it so much in that.
I hope we're an inspiration to more than just hackers, though. I hope we're an inspiration to everybody with a sense of the value of freedom of speech, you know, and some rebelliousness and just, I don't know, saying something, you know?
Yeah, it takes a lot of effort, and people out there are so many creative people out there, and you really love like hearing a little that people get inspired or they get another idea from ideas you're putting out there. And that's it with the words and ideas and broadcasts. You're getting all that stuff in out there, and it may not be where it starts, but it just keeps going as far as action and things moving from ideas into action in other realms.
You might think it doesn't affect you. It doesn't like touch your life in any way, but people are all around us. Here's the story of some young people who lived right here on Long Island. Two young men from Central Islip. They've lived in the United States much of their lives, and they've been deported to El Salvador, a land where they have no relatives, no family. They feel like strangers in a land that they left as boys. They're afraid to go out in the streets in the capital city, San Salvador. They're not in a prison, but they might as well be because they can't show their faces. Jose Alexander Trejo Lopez, 20 years old, and his brother, Jasu, 19. They came here at ages 11 and 10. Imagine that, coming to this country at 11 and 10. Now, if you're the kind of person who says, well, where's their documentation? Do they come here legally? Seriously, take a good look at your values. Think of yourself at the age of 11 or 10, going to a foreign country and living there as you approach adulthood, only to have the equivalent of an ignorant mob grab you and throw you into a country you have little memory of and no connection to. And now they're in this place where they can't show their face because they don't have papers. Yeah, and if they wind up being stopped by the authorities and they don't have papers, guess where they wind up going? Yeah, they'll be in one of those prisons. They don't have passports. They have no official identification. Soldiers on buses in the streets would put them in the country's notorious jails if they had no ID. Trejo Lopez said, we are afraid because we have nobody here. The last time we were in this country was like 9 years ago. Everything now is different. His mother wants her sons to return to the United States so they can fulfill the dreams they had. We are trusting in God and the lawyer to bring them back. One lawyer. They didn't do a thing wrong. Didn't commit any crimes. They were good students with bright futures. They just had the wrong last name. And now they're stuck. They're stuck because something happened that made the authorities take an interest in them. And this is right here on Long Island this happened. Trejo Lopez, by the way, said he had been afraid to attend his check-in appointment with ICE in March because he had been hearing stories about immigrants getting detained and deported after attending such meetings. But he and his relatives went anyway. At the detention center in Buffalo, at one point, the brothers were placed in a section with convicted criminals. So what message does that send? It sends a message that if you are an immigrant in this country and you're trying to become a citizen, you should not attend those hearings because you'll be grabbed at the hearings. We keep hearing cases upon cases where this is the norm. And that just makes the situation all the more desperate. So yeah, don't say it doesn't affect you. You might not be in that position yourself, but your friends, your neighbors, people that you see, people who make your life better and easier, they are very much in the crosshairs here. And that's why when things happen, like what happened in New Jersey last week, occur, we need to pay attention. You might have heard about this. The mayor of Newark, his name is Ross Baraka, who, by the way, is the son of somebody who used to do radio here on WUSB, Amiri Baraka. Tremendous activist, one of the more inspirational figures here at Stony Brook. And his son is the mayor of Newark. But he was arrested at a federal immigration detention center for protesting its opening. He can be heard in the video saying he wasn't on Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, property after someone standing behind the facility's fence said that agents are talking about coming back to arrest the mayor. "I'm not on their property," he said in the footage. "They can't come out in the street and arrest me." Well, they arrested him. They put Baraka in handcuffs, put him in an unmarked car. The mayor of Newark. These people are an occupying force. They need to be stopped. They are not what this country represents. They are not healthy for our future. And they are not solving any problem. They're just creating an atmosphere of panic, fear. Well, they eventually dropped the charges against Baraka, but then they charged a congresswoman with assault. Democratic Representative LaMonica McGyver was charged with assault after a skirmish with federal officers outside the ICE Center, according to New Jersey's top federal prosecutor. Interim U.S. Attorney Alina Haba. She wrote on social media that McGyver is facing a charge of, get ready, assaulting, impeding, or interfering with law enforcement. But court papers with details were not released. Because that is how these people operate. They say something to get your attention, they provide no evidence. Now, the prosecution of McGyver is a rare federal criminal case against a sitting member of Congress for allegations other than fraud or corruption. Because fraud and corruption, okay, that's common. But this is different. It instantly taps into a much broader, more consequential power struggle between a Trump administration engaged in a sweeping overhaul of immigration policy and a Democratic Party scrambling for ways to respond. I got to say, this is a better way of responding than Chuck Schumer's method of writing a letter. You know, that's his go-to. I'm going to write a strongly worded letter. That'll show them. Okay, Chuck, you know, you helped out a little bit. Let's sit down and let somebody else take care of this. You got to show up. You got to be loud. You got to be in their face. You got to get the headlines. And in this particular case, it was exactly the right thing to do. Now, McGyver's Democratic colleagues have cast the prosecution as an infringement on lawmakers' official duties to serve their constituents and an effort to silence their opposition to an immigration policy that helped propel Trump back into power, but now has emerged as a divisive fault line in American political discourse. McGyver has denied any wrongdoing, has accused federal agents of escalating the situation by arresting the mayor. She denounced the charge as purely political, said prosecutors are distorting her actions in an effort to deter legislative oversight. The administration will never stop me from working for the people in our district and standing up for what is right, I am thankful for the outpouring of support I have received. I look forward to the truth being laid out clearly in court. Now, there's a two-minute clip that's been released by the Department of Homeland Security. They show MacGyver on the facility side of a chain link fence just before the arrest of the mayor on the street side of the fence. So, you know, she was on the facility side, supposedly getting a tour, and the mayor was on the street side where he wasn't going to be arrested. What are they going to do? Come out on the street and arrest me? They came out on the street and arrested him. That's what they did. Sure, they dropped the charges, but that's what they did. Didn't arrest her, arrested him. And now it's flipped. She and uniformed officials go through the gate. She joins others shouting, "Surround the mayor." In other words, protect the mayor as he's being arrested. Apparently that's a crime, to encourage people to protect somebody. It's kind of the theme lately. Yeah, you get in trouble if you protect people. The video shows MacGyver in a tightly packed group of people and officers. At one point, her left elbow and then her right elbow push into an officer wearing a dark face covering and an olive green uniform emblazoned with the word police on it. Can't see his face. Just see the robotic coverings and all that. Now, it isn't clear from the body cam video, which is their primary bit of evidence here, it is not clear whether that contact was intentional, incidental, or a result of jostling in the chaotic scene. But, you know, one thing which is very clear, if you're in a tightly packed group of people, limbs are going to touch other limbs, you know, and it's going to be very unclear who pushed whom and whether something was intentional or not intentional. But one thing I can say is that there was no violence per se where somebody is slugging somebody else. At most, it's somebody being pushed into someone else. And again, you can't tell where that pushing came from. But we see the kind of exaggeration here. And I've seen this before. I've actually witnessed this in person, where in a demonstration where things are kind of tense, somebody taps a cop on the shoulder to ask if they can go by, and they're arrested for assaulting a police officer because they touched him. Because cops are superhuman, you can't touch them. Yeah, and you wind up in jail just for that. Literally tapping somebody on the shoulder. This happens all the time. And it seems like this is kind of what's going on here. Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem, can't believe I have to say those words, she said MacGyver was being charged after a thorough review of the video footage. Well, unless you've got a video that's different from what's been released so far, that is, hate to say it, hogwash. Yeah. Assaults on federal law enforcement will not be tolerated, Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche said with a straight face. The administration will always protect those who work tirelessly to keep America safe. Remember January 6th? I saw some federal law enforcement officials being assaulted pretty directly there. Some being hit with American flags. Yeah. It's incredible to see these people say that nobody is above the law. Nobody is above. They say that with a straight face. Yeah, you will be charged. If you're a member of the other party and we don't like you, we will charge you with a crime. It is impossible for Trump to commit a crime. It is utterly impossible. All right, so that's a little bit of what's going on. Oh, there's another. Thank you, Kyle.
You need a quad.
I didn't see that. Need,
yeah, that's for you. The second one.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Might be a little cold, but.
Maybe also, fill the dead air while I sip.
I looked up what macchiato is. It's a drop of steamed milk.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah, it translates. It's like a marked coffee. So it's just a little bit of milk on top of like what that is.
I don't want to seem ignorant here, but it seems like everything is coffee and milk with different names. Like cappuccino, isn't that coffee and milk and...
Right, but it's a different proportion. It's more foam, that kind of thing. You know, there's different types of milk when you get into it.
Okay, all right. That's amazing. I am going to be jacked like crazy, two of these, but it's worth it.
Yeah, I figured that it was worth celebrating as well. So.
What are we celebrating?
Just the unity of coffee drinking. Have you looked at coffee prices? Oh, my.
Oh,
yeah, I mean.
I just order things and they go out and get it and bring it back to the studio.
Right.
I have no idea how much things cost.
It's a magical coffee service. But, yeah, the unity, the universality of drinking coffee and enjoying it.
It really is. That's why people have to see that song on YouTube, the Espresso Macchiato from Estonia, Eurovision 2025. It's just so much fun. It really is.
Great track.
I'm almost finished.
I'm kind of danced out. I had so much. I might have pulled a muscle.
You broke a chair.
Yeah.
Okay, but it's worth it. You know, once a year, you go crazy with Eurovision. People in the States, they don't understand. They really don't. They're talking about Canada becoming part of Eurovision, which, you know, seems crazy. But when you consider Israel's part of it and Australia's part of it, I guess anything's possible. Except the United States will never be part of it because we just don't get these things. But Canada, I could see, although the CBC said it was incredibly expensive and they couldn't possibly do it. But, you know, you have to have a national broadcaster on board. But if San Marino can do it, you know, they're a little tiny country in the middle of Italy. They can pull it off. I think Canada can pull it off. But that's just my personal opinion. all right. So that was ICE. Yeah, I'm talking about representatives who are willing to risk all kinds of things for their constituents. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention that we have a representative like that right here locally. Our good friend, Nick LaLota. Yes, he's a Republican. Yes, he supports Trump in virtually everything he does and says. But he's taking a bit of a chance now because he's standing up to Trump. He's standing up to Trump because he wants... I didn't read this ahead of time. He wants more salt. What does that mean? He wants more salt. Things aren't salty enough. oh, this is the...
tax?
Yeah, the okay, he's part of the SALT caucus. Okay, so basically, the SALT deduction was capped at $10,000 by Trump in his last term. And what that means is that the property taxes that people pay are deductible only up until $10,000. Now, here on Long Island and in New York and other parts of the country, a tax bill of over $10,000 is not that unusual, and you don't have to be wealthy to be faced with that. So to have it capped at $10,000, that certainly wasn't a good thing, and it wasn't something that just affected rich people. It affected middle-income people. And right now they are attempting to push forth this bill in Congress. This budget, which is bad for so many reasons, but this is what our local representation is latching onto. And you know, in this particular case, I agree that the SALT deduction should be at least $30,000, not $10,000. A lot of people's taxes went up as a result of Trump, and you know, that was a few years ago. It's important that people realize why this happened. The thing that bothers me is that this guy, Nick LaLota, is basically getting all the credit for fighting against this when it was his party that did it in the first place. But fine. At least you're fighting against it now. You weren't in office back then. We had Lee Zeldin back then, and I'm sure he voted for it. But anyway, Trump has failed, as of today, to sway key House Republicans from blue states to drop their opposition to a major tax bill, which they say does not do enough to boost so-called SALT deductions for their constituents. Opposition to the bill from the SALT caucus, as they're known, threatens to derail the legislation, which Trump and House Speaker Mike Johnson hope to see pass before Memorial Day, which is only a week away. Trump visited the GOP House caucus on Capitol Hill today to push lawmakers, literally push them physically, you would believe it, wouldn't you, to approve the bill quickly, and directly called out the caucus, which is focused on the question of the tax deduction allowed for state and local taxes on federal income tax returns. Okay, maybe it's not property taxes. State and local taxes. Well, I think that includes property taxes. I'm not an expert. Don't claim to be. Voter unhappiness with a current cap on the deduction in some states could affect Republican chances of retaining control in the House of Representatives after the 2026 midterm elections. The Republican tax bill of 2017 capped the SALT deduction at $10,000 in what was seen as a political slap at Democratic-leaning states in the Northeast and California, where residents often pay much more in state and local taxes than Republican-leaning red states. And their suggestion on how to fix this was, don't have as high taxes. Lower your state taxes, and then you won't have a higher amount that we have to cap. The thing they fail to realize is that some of these so-called high-tax states have a lot more resources, have a lot more infrastructure. They have mass transit. They have health care. You know, they have social services, all those things that Republicans hate. Yeah. So, you know, here in New York, I'm happy with what we have. As opposed to some state, I'm not going to pick a state in particular, but one of those states that basically votes against all of that and has virtually nothing. And if you don't have a car, you're kind of screwed. Five members of the SALT caucus remain no votes on the current bill after Trump's visit. And that's something. And those five, Young Kim from California, Representatives Andrew Garabino and Nick LaLota of New York, Representative Tom Kane Jr. of New Jersey. So this will be interesting. How far do you think Nick LaLota will go?
So that's why the president was there.
Yeah.
One of the big meetings. He'll go, I don't know, as far as his constituents will demand.
Well, we're his constituents.
Yeah.
So, Nick, go all the way and butt heads with Trump. If you have the courage to do that, I will win a lot of respect for you. All right? I don't know if I'll vote for you, but it will certainly improve your standing, I think, amongst everybody, if you're actually able to not cave in.
Well, or get out in the weeds on other things, like stay on task. Like, what is the actual exigence, like the purpose in this circumstance? What is your focus? And sticking to that, not getting in some kind of brawl or, you know, social media thing.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. And it's going to be soon, too. We'll see it this week. Standing up for what you believe in. That's the theme, folks. That's what it's all about. If you can do that.
That's the task. That's their job.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. And you know, as while I'm doling out praise to unlikely candidates, I want to say one good thing about Trump. You know, when he went overseas, no, not accepting a 747 from Qatar, not doing all the nonsense that he did over there. One thing he did, though, that was good, was lifting the sanctions on Syria. Syria had a revolution. They kicked out Assad. You know, it's a new day. And Israel has been trying to destroy this regime, because they're out of their damn minds. We'll get to that in a moment. But Trump at least lifted the sanctions and said, okay, you guys deserve a new chance. And let's see what they do. Let's give them that chance and not make things even harder. And today the EU followed suit, lifted the sanctions. It would be great to have Syria become a prosperous country where people don't live in fear and have the support of the rest of the world. Wouldn't that be great? So, you know, at least Trump did that.
And no tariffs on Syria.
I don't know if there are tariffs on Syria. Oh, yeah.
I just threw that in there. It's an idea. Come on. I'm trying to help.
The tariffs are still there, you know. Sure, they're not, you know, a gazillion or whatever they were in China. They started making up numbers. That's how high they got. But you know, 30-40%, that's still a lot. That's enough for Walmart of all places to draw a line in the sand and say, we have to start charging more. And Trump literally said, no, you eat that. Didn't Walmart support him? And he's telling them, yeah, you have to pay for what I do and that's it. Okay. Not very nice. Not very nice at all.
The day I'm siding with Walmart, you know what? I can think of a lot of good things to say about it. Don't make me, though.
Wow. Well, Home Depot, by the way, they're another big Trump supporter. They said they're not going to raise prices. Yeah, so they're doing something political, I think, where they want to keep all the Trump people. We'll see if Lowe's raises prices and see which. It's crazy how you have to follow all this. Okay, something else that happened over the past few days. This whole 8647 business with James Comey. This is the craziest thing I've heard in a long, long time. But basically, former FBI director James Comey was taking a walk on the beach and saw a bunch of shells lined up, seashells arranged on a beach, formed the numbers 8647. And he took a picture and posted that on his Instagram. And inside of a few minutes, he was accused of calling for the assassination of Donald Trump. Now, you know, I try to study things. I try to learn what I can. And the phrase 86, apart from being, I think, the number of an agent on Get Smart, basically means get rid of, kick out. You know, we have a good friend in Washington who has been 86.
Well, no, let's not get personal.
Oh, I'm not saying any names.
But when I was involved in bar culture a lot more, you know, if you've ever worked at a bar and been a bartender in any way, you know that that's a reference to someone that's got to go or that isn't allowed to, they're cut off.
I didn't know it meant murder. I did not know that. I swear. I didn't know that bartenders were killing their patrons in the 86.
That's not what it means when they say that though. That's my point is that it's like, you know, it is oft used, but it's not to that extent.
But Trump said.
But then all of a sudden it's not in colloquial use, so we have to take it to some extreme.
Trump said he knew exactly what that meant. A child knows what that meant. Get a child. Ask a child, do you know what 86 means? And according to Trump, they will say, yes, it means to slaughter somebody, to murder them. That's what it means. If you're the FBI director and you don't know what that meant assassination, and it says it loud and clear. I had no idea. So now Comey is being investigated by the Secret Service. I mean, you talk about politicizing these agencies. That is exactly what's going on here. And let me just point out something. You might recall that during the campaign, Trump retweeted or retweeted or retruthed, whatever they call it, an image of Joe Biden in the back of a pickup truck, bound and gagged, and lying on the bed of the pickup truck. He sent that out. How is that acceptable? And simply saying 8647 is an assassination plot. Oh my God! Look at where we are.
Yeah, it's a total double standard. And as I was pointing out, I guess 86 means you can't come back. You're not allowed to be served at all.
Uh-huh.
So that is like, you know, you're not a patron anymore. But just showing a number combination, yeah, I mean, it's antagonistic, especially if you're a public official like that. But it's really also kind of lunacy. Just it's not that serious. And he's just observing it. I don't know that he sat there on the beach for hours and hours making that.
I don't think he did it.
No. Well, when I first heard the story, that's what I thought. I was like, wow, that's artsy. And also, you know, it has connotations in this realm and then in what people are assigning meanings to and all that. But then I realized, yeah, he just probably was walking and like anybody would photograph something.
Yeah, and
it does. It is a measure of the sentiment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. I wonder why the 8 is a different color shell than the 6 and the 4 and the 7. That's what I want to know.
Work with what you have.
He's going to be on Colbert tonight. hopefully he gets asked those hard questions and we find. But it's just such an absurd. I mean, this was a main story a few days ago. They were thinking of calling me as a potential assassin. The story kind of evaporated because people realized how ridiculous it was. But it's scary when you can just say something like 8647 or 86 Trump, and that's assumed to mean that you're calling for his assassination. That opens up the door for all kinds of prosecutions and intimidation from the ruling party. And it's not right. It's not right. We can't just let this slide like this is a misunderstanding. They know what they're doing.
He'll probably show up with a sand pail and a shovel. But honestly, I mean, things get overblown and twisted around in some cases. So that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's lots of new meanings and new ideas floating around because of all the change and transformation. Lots to watch out for.
Yeah, yeah. Got to be careful what you say.
And photograph.
All right, you know, a couple of things today having to do with Israel. The UK, France, Canada are all now threatening concrete actions against Israel over their barbaric treatment of Gaza. The United Kingdom, France, and Canada are horrified by the military escalation in Gaza and have threatened to take concrete actions against Israel if it does not stop its renewed offensive and lift aid restrictions. British Prime Minister Keir Starmer said today, "I want to put on record today that we're horrified by the escalation from Israel. We repeat our demand for a ceasefire." Meanwhile, Israel is doubling down on its deadly campaign in Gaza, killing at least 87 people in the last 24 hours. 87 innocent people, 87 civilians. And, you know, when you can justify something like that, when you can say, yeah, they have to do that in order to get to Hamas, you are going down a very dark road, you know, and if you can excuse that, you will continue to be able to excuse that, and it'll just keep getting worse and worse and worse. This kind of reprehensible behavior would have been unthinkable 10, 20 years ago. Certainly would have been a nightmare scenario in the early days of Israel. And now it's not even the top story. Just, oh yeah, 100 Palestinians killed today. Can you imagine if it was going in the other direction? You know, can you imagine if 100 Israelis were killed today? Oh, well, that's just the way things are. Maybe they shouldn't be living there. You know, can you imagine the reaction to that callous attitude? It's utterly disgusting. And it has to be stopped. Now, today, in addition, a former prime minister, Ehud Olmert, hopefully I'm pronouncing that close to right, he claimed that what Israel is doing now in Gaza is very close to a war crime. Former prime minister. Who knew a former prime minister would be so anti-Semitic? Because if you criticize Israel at all, you have to be anti-Semitic, right? That's everything. Everything that is the slightest criticism. And you see that in this country repeatedly, without question, without any kind of evidence whatsoever. Demonstrators at a university, oh, they're all pro-Hamas, pro-terror, anti-Semitic. And every week I ask for the evidence. Never see it. It's never presented. You know, it's either something vague that has no way of backing up what it is they're saying. It's a feeling. It's based on what somebody else said once. And that's not to say there aren't ugly people out there that say hateful things. There are. But you can't cast that wide net over everybody who's criticizing what is going on. And if you're not criticizing what's going on over there, you're blind to what's going on over there, because I want to believe that none of us would support killing innocent people. Look, it was wrong on October 7th. And those people who couldn't find it in themselves to condemn that, I think you're just as guilty as people who can't condemn what's going on in Gaza right now. Human lives are the same everywhere. Innocent people are innocent people. Israelis are no better than Palestinians. Palestinians are no better than Israelis. We're all human beings. Anyway, to get back to the former prime minister, Almert added that this is a war without a purpose, a war without a chance of achieving anything that can save the lives of the hostages. Yeah, remember, that's what this is supposedly about, but I don't think it is. He was speaking to BBC News. He was instrumental in Israel's exit from Gaza in 2005 before becoming prime minister between 2006 and 2009. He says the obvious appearance of the war is that thousands of innocent Palestinians are being killed, as well as many Israeli soldiers. From every point of view, this is obnoxious and outrageous. We are fighting the killers of Hamas. We are not fighting innocent civilians, and that has to be clear. And unfortunately, to the rest of the world, that is far from clear, because that's not what's going on here. What's going on here is you're seeing a power-mad dictator doing whatever he can to cling to power. And if that involves destroying the country in the process, I don't think he cares. He certainly doesn't care about human life. I don't think he even considers Palestinians to be human. Think about that. Ending the war would mean Benjamin Netanyahu would have to sacrifice at least one or two of his three war objectives in Gaza, which is securing the return of the hostages held by Hamas, and I don't think he cares about that. Ask any of the families. Eliminating the group's military and governmental abilities. I think Hamas serves him. I think he is the biggest backer of Hamas ever to have existed. I think without Hamas, he would have no power whatsoever, no legitimacy. And I think he has inspired more people to join Hamas than any bake sale Hamas ever held to get more recruits. Yeah, he is the inspiration. And number three, removing the threat of possible future attacks. You have basically guaranteed that there will be attacks 100 years from now as revenge for the outrage that has been going on. Netanyahu has been repeatedly criticized by the United Nations, the European Union, and individual states about Israel's military campaign. Of course, he retains the support of the United States. White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt said on Fox News that Israel had consulted the Trump administration before launching today's strikes. Killed, what, 100 people? 75 people? Does it matter? Is anyone counting? In a statement to the United Nations Security Council, the U.S. ambassador to the UN, Dorothy Shea, said that the resumption of hostilities in Gaza lay solely with Hamas and that the U.S. supported Israel in its next steps. Kobe Michael, senior researcher at the Institute for National Security Studies, a Tel Aviv think tank, said he believed Israel was attempting to push Hamas to the decision phase with the latest strikes. With Trump in power, Israel is very well coordinated with the American administration. So make no mistake, what happens there, we have a hand in, and our hands are very, very dirty. Now, the numbers, you know, I don't even know how you keep track of how many people have been killed at this point. But it's approaching 60,000. 60,000? Can you even conceive of that? And we all know the names of the hostages or the killed on October 7th, and we should know their names. We should know their stories. But we also need to know the names and the stories of every one of the 60,000 or so people who have been brutally killed just because they happen to live in a certain place. I mean, I'm somewhat heartened to see reaction finally against these atrocities, but it's far too late, far too little. We need a plan. We need a plan to stop them militarily, if necessary. They're out of their minds. The Israeli government are out of their minds. They need to be 86th, and you know how I mean it. I don't mean it the way that they'll accuse me of meaning it, believe me.
Well, people forget that there are plenty of members of society there before the atrocities on October 7th that were up in arms about this administration.
Of course, yes.
And trying to solve some of the internal corruption and get a new government in place. But
just put things in perspective. I did a little bit of digging around with numbers. I was curious. If you look at the death toll in the 10 years before October 7th of Palestinians, the death toll of Palestinians in the 10 years before October 7th, you will find that it is double the number of people who were killed on October 7th. And that's a lot of people, considering that we're not aware of what was going on during that period. And similar numbers show up where you just see this incredibly lopsided figures, you know, as far as how many people were killed. And, you know, October 7th was an absolutely horrible thing. But to say you don't understand how something like that could have happened, you need to study. You need to study the history and how long this has been going on for.
But recent history as well.
Yeah, guaranteed, though, it's going to happen again. And you can't be surprised. Because something is reprehensible doesn't mean you don't understand why it happened. You know, like September 11th was absolutely horrible. But I remember talking to New Yorkers the day of, and people said, yeah, this was predictable. So we cannot be surprised to see atrocities happen. We have to stop the atrocities. And you can't simply say, well, they started it, you know, at this point, you simply cannot get to the beginning. You just can't do that. I can say, though, that there was a ceasefire. There was a ceasefire between Hamas and Israeli forces, and Israel broke the ceasefire. And that's, you know, look it up. Israel broke, and all the media saying, yes, Israel broke the ceasefire because they weren't happy with how Hamas was moving forward. They were keeping to the terms of the ceasefire, but Israel was dissatisfied with what the next step might be. They hadn't gotten to the next step yet. But they said, yeah, we don't want this anymore. And they just broke the ceasefire. And that's okay. That's okay. They broke the ceasefire and started slaughtering people again. How is that right? How do you justify that? Somehow, in this country, we twist ourselves into pretzels to justify the unjustifiable. None of this has to be happening. None of this had to happen. And there needs to be some very, very dramatic changes in attitude if this is ever going to take a step towards any kind of settlement. And we don't have enough time to get into that, unfortunately, but I'd love to hear people's ideas. You know, your idea is as good as anyone's. It'll have to wait, I guess.
There's been a lot more reason discussion on it. No reason that you cannot be a part of it either. So
that's true. All right. We are out of time. OTW@2600.com is our email address. As promised, we're going out with the winning selection of Eurovision, which turned out to be Austria, a song called Wasted Love by the Austrian singer JJ. By the way, Israel came this close to winning. You know, I'm glad they didn't, because it would have been the end of Eurovision, I think, with all the controversy. And it would have been bad for Israel as well, because having to host it next year would not have been something that I think they were up for. But this winning song by a singer known as JJ, born in Vienna, and he has a very counter tenor soprano type voice. Let's take a listen to the winning song, and we'll see you next week. Good night.
See ya.
Oh, I'm sorry. I had the volume down. So can you say goodnight again, Kyle, while I fix that?
So long. Sayonara.
I'm an ocean of love, and you're scared of water. You don't want to go under, so you let me go under. I reach out my hand, but you watch to fall to the sea.